This episode of Enterprise Radio is brought to you by DesignCrowd.com. DesignCrowd is a website that helps entrepreneurs and small businesses outsource or crowdsource custom graphic, logo, and web designs from designers around the world. DesignCrowd has more than 500,000 designers from Sydney to San Francisco ready to help you with awesome creative ideas. So get the perfect custom design every time. Check out DesignCrowd.com to learn more and receive your Enterprise Radio $100 VIP offer when you start your next project.
You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are visiting with Adam J. Lazarus, consultant for Pinmark Strategic Research and Consulting Center based in Kuwait, and spokesman for the new dynamic book, Trump, Monster or Hero? Serious Question, Scary Answer, authored by Mr. Muhammad Al-Anjari. Coming to us from Kuwait today, Adam, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thanks a lot, Eric. Thanks for having us.
And you're welcome, Adam. So, for starters, what prompted Mr. Muhammad Al-Anjari to write this book about Mr. Trump?
Sure. So, the primary reason is that Mr. Trump carries ideas which pose a tremendous danger for America and the rest of the world due to his hate, enmity, and transgression towards others. So, he's a man who will do what he has said he'll do. And his type of ideology would pose a huge danger if it spreads. So the issue is not only Mr. Trump as a person, but it's his mindset and way of thinking which must be stopped. So the danger of his way of thinking must be clarified to the masses in facts, figures, and detailed statistics. So this is not another biography or emotionally driven criticism. Rather, this book is indeed an exposition of the dangers Trump poses based on the many little-known realities of the world that we live in. That's the primary reason. And likewise, the secondary reason is that just as the Kuwaitis were helped by the U.S. and its mutual allies in whatever they were able to in the Gulf War, when America had liberated Kuwait along with its allies, then the author, Mr. Al-Anjari, he hopes that he can try and give this book back and that he can, that this is something of what he can do to repay the Americans and help them through this time, this difficult period of these elections. And he feels thankful and grateful to America, and he'll remember the aid that they brought to his country up until the day he dies.
If you would, share some of the most crucial information that you discovered in your research that are found in this book.
Sure. So, as was mentioned, this is not another biography. Rather, it is a detailed research based on facts and figures from reliable sources, trustworthy sources that the professionals in this world constantly refer back to. So just from those examples of the amazing research that has come about in this book is the true strength of America and how powerful America really is, and that it's much healthier and wealthier than Trump and those like him would like to make out. So, for example, out of the global military spending, America itself spends 36%, or America has spent 36% out of the whole global military spending, meaning out of all of the military spending in the world, America has spent 36% of that, more than a third. So America truly has the strongest and most capable military out there. Likewise, if we take the example to show the strength and ability that America has as a country, if we look at just one state as an example, if we look at the state of California from amongst those 50 states, then, for example, 13,000 Californians are considered to be ultra high net worth individuals, each owning over $30 million. So there's 13,000 Californians that own over $30 million. And also, California, besides those 13,000 people, there's more than 777,000 households with at least $1 million in assets. So that's 750,000 millionaires living in California alone. Likewise, California has more billionaires than any other U.S. state, and it tops the nations of Germany, India, Russia, and the U.K. So California has more billionaires than all of these other countries. Likewise, California, its GDP, gross domestic product, is more than $2.4 billion. And why is this important? We constantly find Trump attacking other countries outside, complaining that these other countries have a huge advantage and more advantage needs to be taken of these countries outside. So, for example, if you compare, as the author has done in the book, if you compare the GDP of California, then the GDP of California alone is bigger and stronger than the GDP of Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Qatar, Oman, Bahrain, and Egypt, all together is less than the GDP of California. Less than the GDP of California. So this shows how the strength of just one state alone is so much more financially strong than all of these other countries put together. Likewise, the author, he delves into the strength of certain companies. So as a few of those examples, Walmart alone, everybody knows Walmart, is the revenue of Walmart is bigger than the GDP of the whole country of Iran, for example. Likewise, McDonald's. You know, take one restaurant alone. The revenue of McDonald's, which is $27 billion, is almost double the GDP of Yemen. Almost double the GDP of Yemen. Likewise, for example, Trump says, and he's mentioned Kuwait different times in various speeches that he's made, how the Kuwaitis, they don't pay enough and they should be more in debt to America. So the author brings the example of both Exxon and Chevron. So two of the American oil companies, each one of these, their revenue is almost equal to the GDP of Kuwait. Each of these, only one oil company is almost the GDP of Kuwait. Likewise, Trump, he has many stances and many speeches, as well known, against immigration. So the author brings beautiful examples in the book, emphasizing the strength of America and how that came about through immigration in so many instances. So for example, 40% of America's Fortune 500 companies were founded by immigrants or children of immigrants. So everyone knows the Fortune 500, these are the strongest companies in America. America's Fortune 500, 40% of them were founded by either immigrants or the children of immigrants. The author goes into specific details. So he uses, for example, Steve Jobs and the great benefits that have come about to the economy due to Apple, and how none of Trump's initiatives of what he has contributed to society could equal that which Steve Jobs has brought forth with Apple. Likewise, the example of Elon Musk, and I'm sure your entrepreneurial listeners, they would be well acquainted with Elon Musk and his many companies that he started, the thousands of jobs that he's created. He was an immigrant from South Africa who came to America looking for a better life, looking for further economic opportunities. Likewise, the author has brought beautiful examples from India and how Indian immigrants have become such successful business leaders for some of the major companies in the world. So, for example, Pepsi, Google, Microsoft, Adobe, MasterCard, Unilever, Citigroup. All of these companies and more, the authors brought 15 examples, that they have Indian senior executives. And this shows that there's huge potential that can be brought about, that can come about, and huge benefit to the economies and to the companies due to the contributions of immigrants. Likewise, some very important research that is given great focus and detail in the book is the advancements in robotics and artificial intelligence, and how, for example, that the amount of spending, for example, that's went into this. In the United States, in 2012, American companies invested almost $1.5 billion in robotics and artificial intelligence. And it's expected that more and more initiatives such as artificial intelligence and robotics, they'll be taking more and more jobs. So there are many estimates that say that up to 50% even of the jobs that currently exist would be replaced by robots. Now, why is this important? This specific topic, the author goes into a lot of detail and he speaks about what are the ramifications of this. And many people, they believe and they're scared that it's only the robots and the artificial intelligence that is a threat to their employment or threat to their careers. But the author points out that a lot of the solutions in that lies in the people themselves. So, for example, even though the U.S. had spent so much on robots in that year 2012, nearly 600,000 manufacturing jobs remained unfilled because of a lack of workers with the right skills. So even though there was that much spending on robots, there was still more than 500,000 manufacturing jobs alone that remained unfilled due to there being unskilled workers. Likewise, that something that's important for the world to realize is the amount of the deficiency in the youth's striving to improve themselves and to raise their skills. So we find that, yes, there are many people around the world, they are trying to improve themselves, but currently almost a quarter of the world's youth are considered to be not in employment, education, or training, almost 25%. So these are just some of those detailed studies and some of those very important points which the author has mentioned from his research.
Now, Mr. Alangari states that the book can prove that what Mr. Trump claims to be solutions are not real solutions at all, as they don't address any of the real problems facing the nation and the world. What are your insights on this?
Great. So in this book, the author has exposed in various chapters that so much of what he claims to be problems are not actually the deep underlying problems which need to be addressed. So the author exposes this reality in the clear language of numbers from reliable and trusted sources. He believes that any just and open-minded person will be able to see the reality based upon the accurate information that he has put forward. So it's only those that are closed-minded and would reject the facts which are presented that would not heed these warnings. And the author himself, he doesn't like complaints or the people that just complain about the issues that aren't accompanied by solutions. So the author raises many of these actual problems facing society that Trump is relatively ignoring. So for example, the issues of, and the author has called it the three beasts, or the three beasts currently devastating American society: alcohol, drugs, and guns. So he brings the numbers, the detailed costs that have come about to society, such as work lost, medical care, insurance, the criminal justice expenses, pain and suffering settlements that have come about due to problems related to these things. So, for example, alcohol cost the U.S. about $223 billion a year. Firearms crimes related to guns, cost America about $174 billion a year. Drugs. The abuse of illegal drugs costs America about $215 billion every year. So all of these together, these three, if you add them up, it's $612 billion a year that these three problems are costing America. And the author, he's done an interesting comparison that how Trump, he says that we need to get more from Kuwait. He has mentioned in different interviews that he needs to invade Iraq and Syria so that he can claim the oil and he could take the oil, which should belong to the people. But he wants to take the oil. So if you add up the GDPs of Kuwait and Iraq and Syria all together, then that sum is less than the $612 billion that America is spending due to these three problems. So if he was to focus on these three problems, the alcohol abuse, the guns, the illegal crime, and the deaths that come about due to the guns and the abuse of the illegal drugs, then if he was to focus on solving those problems, that would save America so many more billions than if he was, than how he's focusing on these external issues outside of the U.S. Likewise, the author focuses more about the topic of guns and how there's more guns in America than people, how there's more guns than civilians in America. And there's an interesting statistic that was mentioned by PBS that since 1968, more Americans have died from gunfire than they died in all the wars of this country's history. So the gunfire, the gun violence that occurs between the people, then this is more than the Americans, more than the deaths that have come about due to Americans in all of the country's history in their wars. And of course, all of this relates a lot and has a close connection to the prison system. So, for example, the author shows how that which America is spending on the prison system annually is $74 billion. $74 billion being spent on the prison system. And this is more than the combined cost of what Germany and Italy, both of them, spend on their whole military. On their whole military. So there are huge problems facing society, of course. Likewise, related to the prisons, that the growth in the percentage of Americans that are incarcerated since 1970 up until now has been growing almost 700%. Almost 700%. So there are huge internal problems which Trump is not addressing accurately, and this book explains that in a very good amount of detail. Likewise, the author brings a very interesting example of Japan and how Japan, they've been going further and further into debt over the last decades. So Japan, their economic situation is quite bad in the sense that their public debt is 246% of the GDP. So what they owe is 246% more than the GDP. And they've had a huge trade deficit and many, many difficulties facing their country. And this is while they have, or while they don't have, many of the issues that Trump goes on about. So for example, they have almost no immigration. So 2% of the population is foreign origin. So there's almost no competition in the jobs market. Likewise, so, and that's evident because there's only 3.2% unemployment rate, which is very low. So there are many issues. The world is very complicated now. And even though Japan, they should, you know, based on Trump's ideal situation of having less immigration, more jobs, they should be in a better economic state. And this shows that that in order to rectify the affairs and to build up the strength of countries, it takes coordination, it takes working together, it takes intelligence, and it takes innovation. And these are the types of things which Trump has not suggested anything of up until now.
Whether one is looking to vote for Trump or is a Trump supporter listening in today, I'm sure they are listening to everything you have to say. Today we are joined by Adam J. Lazarus out of Kuwait Today, consultant for Penmark Strategic Research and Consulting Center, again based in Kuwait, and spokesman for the new dynamic book, Trump, Monster or Hero? Serious Question, Scary Answer, authored by Mr. Muhammad Al-Anjadi here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Don't forget you can follow the show on Twitter at ePodcast Network, and we're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Have you ever considered starting your own business? If the answer is yes, then you're going to need a killer logo, business card, and web design. This is where DesignCrowd.com can help. Here's how it works. Visit DesignCrowd.com and post a request describing the design you need. For example, a logo design. DesignCrowd will then invite its 500,000 designers to respond. Within hours, you'll receive your first design. And over the course of 3 to 10 days, a typical project will receive 60 to 100 plus different designs from designers around the world. You then get to pick the best design and approve payment to the designer. If you do post a project but don't find a design that you want, no worries. Design Crowd has a money-back guarantee. In summary, crowdsourcing design on Design Crowd will save you money, time, and help you find the best design possible for your budget. Check out designcrowd.com/epodcast. For a special VIP offer for Enterprise Radio listeners, or simply enter the discount code EPN when you're posting a project on Design Crowd. Now, Adam, why do you believe Mr. Trump became the Republican nominee?
Okay, so the author has mentioned that there are three main important points to realize related to the Republican Party officially nominating Trump as its candidate. So first, the author says it was clear from the beginning to the people of experience and intelligence that Trump would be a powerfully strong contender. And this is because there are many people around the world who think the same way as him and are attracted to his tone of speech. And it's a danger which should have been recognized and stopped in its tracks before the masses were affected. Even though many people are attracted to Trump's rhetoric, it's the responsibility of the intelligent ones around the world to put a stop to the spread of this type of disease. And he calls it a Trumpian disease, the author, regardless of who spreads it, whether it's in Africa, Asia, Europe, or the United States. So his way is a way of hate-mongering, demagoguery, and incitement, which is truly dangerous. And the progression of this disease is what had led to the rise of Hitler in the past, and the same thing can happen again in the future. So it was important for the Republican Party to push Trump out of the race from the beginning. But each candidate was too focused on their own benefit. So the threat became clear when Trump was number two in the results of the first caucus in Iowa. He was among the top three who were far ahead of all the rest. However, each of the other candidates were self-centered, stood their own course, and didn't take action. They remained divided until it was too late, so Trump was able to both corner and conquer them. So now, this is the price they must pay today for being so disunited from the early stages of the primaries. Sometimes it's necessary to sacrifice some of one's own power or pride for the greater good. That's the first point that he mentioned, the author. The second point related to Trump's nomination is that his victory over his party will reflect upon America negatively and change the type of leaders who will rise to power both within the Republican Party and beyond. Third, the clearest quote that he had come across to describe the situation is what George W. Bush had said. He said, and this was quoted from the Politico magazine, he said, "I'm worried that I will be the last Republican president." So he became the nominee because the party is shifting to be upon his way of thinking, meaning Trump. So Trump has become the nominee because the party is shifting to be upon his way of thinking. Otherwise, they wouldn't have chosen him.
Certainly an interesting take in all regards. Lastly, do you foresee increasing global tensions with the USA if Mr. Trump wins the election?
Sure. If Mr. Trump actually ends up doing what he says he'll do, then yes, global tensions would increase. So the U.S. would not be trusted to the same level it currently is. The trust level then affects the economy, so international trade would reduce, even with the friendly countries. So that's, you know, with the friendly countries, it would reduce. So for the examples mentioned in the book, we have the great spending of the GCC countries, those countries like Saudi, Qatar, Bahrain, Kuwait, the Emirates. So they've signed a total of $68.9 billion in arms agreements with the U.S. So they're buying from the U.S. almost $70 billion worth of arms. Likewise, the investment of so many other countries are interconnected with the U.S. So there's so much coordination and so much coordination between the economies of the U.S. and Mexico already, for example. So for just as an example, the two-way trade in goods and services between U.S. and Mexico is $550 billion a year. Likewise, Mexico is the third largest supplier of foreign crude oil to the USA. Mexico is the United States' second largest export market and third largest trading partner. So these are just a few of those examples that show that America has such close ties with Mexico already that if they were to be pushed away, the economy could likely suffer greatly, and it would be a huge loss. And it's important to remember that only decades ago, not a century, not 100 years, only decades ago, we were faced with the Cold War when the communists had made agreements with Cuba for their nuclear arms. So what if the same type of situation was to happen with Mexico or any other country that Trump was to push away as president and leave the door open for any of America's enemies to get close? Likewise, China. China is a tremendous global spender. So, for example, they spend about $1 trillion in their outbound direct investment. China spends about $1 trillion. So since 2005, the $90 billion that China has invested in America is only 10% of that, less than 10% of that. So that's a further 90% of China's spending budget that they are already spending outside that they could be spending in the U.S. if the global ties and if the relations between the countries were to improve and get better rather than being pushed farther and farther apart.
Well, Adam, we certainly do appreciate your time today and joining us all the way from Kuwait and to discuss the important and popular global topic of the U.S. election and Donald Trump. It should be an interesting election and outcome without a question. If you would tell our listeners where they can get more information about the book and where they can purchase the book, Trump, Monster or Hero, Serious Question, Scary Answer.
Sure. So the book is available on both Amazon.com and Amazon.co.uk. It's available in both paperback and Kindle edition. So if you'd like to check that out, please do. Also, more information about the author and about the book and some samples of the detailed infographics can be found at the website, which is www.monsterorhero.com. www.monsterorhero.com. Again, the book is Trump, Monster or Hero, Serious Question, Scary Answer. And thank you very much, Eric.
Adam, thank you, and take care of yourself out there in Kuwait, and thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you.
We have been speaking with Adam J. Lazarus, consultant for Penmark Strategic Research and Consulting Center based in Kuwait and spokesman for the new dynamic book, Trump, Monster or Hero, Serious Question, Scary Answer, authored by Mr. Muhammad Al-Anjadi. And once again, for more information, simply visit monsterorhero.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.
We'd like to thank today's sponsor, DesignCrowd.com. Whether you're a startup or an accountant, a blogger, or a photographer, DesignCrowd.com, with over 500,000 designers from around the world and money-back guarantee, is the best way to outsource or crowdsource design. If you're thinking about starting a business, a website, or an app, start today and take the first step by crowdsourcing your logo design, business card design, or website design from Design Crowd. Visit designcrowd.com/epodcast and get a special VIP custom design offer.
This is Amber MacArthur, and you are listening to the Entrepreneur Podcast Network.